Radio Influence. The future is now.
Flavor, flavor, please tell your neighbors. Ian Beckles with flavor in your ear. Wake up, sports, music, and fashion. Best of podcasting. What's going on now and what's soon to happen? Be sure to stick around, no fast forward or skipping. Dropping jewels, you don't want to miss them. Make sure you listen. Ian Beckles with the flavor in your ear. The voice of the people's here. It's here.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Flavor in Your Ear. This is Ian Beckles, and it's been a long week, and it's getting longer. I'm heading to Fort Lauderdale after I do this beautiful podcast. I'm going to do some neurological tests for the NFL. So we'll see how that all turns out. That's always fun that when they're messing with your brain for about 6 hours, they give you a test with 350 questions on it. And then they say, do this. And then literally for 6 hours, you're just doing brain stuff. So that's going to be fun. I won't be tired at all this weekend. So, speaking of football, our beloved Buccaneers, we know how wonderful we love our Buccaneers and how we're optimistic that things are going to be all rosy next year. Well, I'm getting to a point where I'm done thinking that, because, you know, when I'm seeing teams, you know, that are good and great making moves to get better, I just keep on thinking, what the hell are we doing? When Michael Bennett gets traded for like a seventh rounder and a player I've never heard of before. So we can't use Michael Bennett. First of all, we gave him away for nothing. But we don't think we could use Michael Bennett. And I hear Bucs fans saying, well, what about his attitude? Okay, then keep on putting a bunch of Boy Scouts out there and see what happens. You want guys with attitude. Robert Quinn was signed, 8.5 sacks. I mean, they're not giving up that much. A seventh rounder? Come on. Give up a third rounder for a guy who know is going to get close to 10 sacks? I mean, to me, that's worth it. You got all the money in the world under the cap. And to see the Bucs sit around and do nothing, and I'm watching teams that have a good pass rush go out and get another football player, that should tell you how important the pass rush is. Pass rush might be the most important. And the Bucs are the worst at it. So there's not going to be a whole lot, you know, there for free agency to make you better. They're just not. And to be honest with you, there was a time where the Tampa Bay area and, you know, the Buccaneers were, you know, a sexy place to come and play. I don't know if it's that way anymore. I really don't. When you haven't won in that long, you know, we laugh at Cleveland. Sometimes you shouldn't throw stones, seriously. Because after Cleveland, it might be us. Because we don't do anything. We're never good. We're never competing. It's been a long, long time. Last time we competed, it was barely. And then you have to go all the way back to the Super Bowl year. And that's a long-ass time ago. So I know you Buccaneer fans have to be getting sick to your stomach to sit around and really basically see, you know, our team do basically nothing. And I know I'm getting tired of it. And it doesn't matter if you like the regime, because if they lose this year, they're all going to be gone anyway. So it may not be that big of a deal. So some other things that happened this week. ESPN got a new president. And I guess that was needed, because that place is in shambles. From what I hear, the ratings are terrible. I think there's a lot of the shows are terrible. Look, I used to watch ESPN religiously, and I don't know if it's because there's so many other damn channels. I don't know what the situation is. Like, I look at for sports on Twitter sometimes. Like, I don't have to watch ESPN anymore. And with all the people that are there and left, and they fired, you know, then they came out with this crap with, you know, Chris Berman and Jameel Hill. You know, I don't know what happened. I really don't. You know, Jameel Hill came out afterwards and said it was not true. Now, you know, we don't know that, okay? It doesn't help her career to try to bring down Chris Berman. That's a bad idea. Now, you've heard excerpts of Chris Berman before. You really don't think Chris Berman did that? Chris, there's a lot of excerpts of Chris Berman just blowing up and blowing a gasket. So for him to leave an email or a voice message that's threatening and maybe a little racially insensitive, I'm not going to be shocked. I'm sorry. So I guess this guy, James Portaro, the new president of ESPN, he got into, ran into a buzzsaw. And I think ESPN might be a sinking ship. I'm not sure. Now, this is a story that came up this week, and I want people to stop being shocked. Canelo Alvarez is probably top three boxers in the world, probably, not just in his weight class, just popularity and draw. he just got popped for PEDs. Now, if you think, if you possibly think that anybody going into the squared circle in the UFC or going in one of those rings for boxing is not taking something, you're crazy. That's not happening. They're taking something, okay? He blamed it on contaminated meats. Now, I've heard of a lot of different things. That one I have not heard of. Now, out of all the years that we've been dealing with athletes, including Lance Armstrong and all of them, Sammy Sosa, Mark Ma, have you ever heard an athlete say, "You got me. You caught me. Sorry." I've never heard an athlete even admit it. Not one time. It's a little much, isn't it? We have to stop being shocked. I wouldn't go in there without taking something. No way. I mean, that doesn't make any damn sense anymore. This, what, a sports, relax yourself, legalize it, whatever. It doesn't matter what they're taking. They're taking it anyways. You're just making it more difficult. The product might be better if you like athletes take whatever they want. Just let them take it. They're going to take it anyways. I think it's about that time. And the NFL is leaning towards legalizing marijuana, which should have been legalized a long time ago. Now, the NFL, I don't believe, will be able to legalize it, but they could take it off the list. That's because if you think about marijuana, and there's actually been many, 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 many studies that says that marijuana is actually good for football players and retired players as well. So just take it off the list. It's not a performing enhancing anything. How is that enhancing anything? When athletes pass their drug test in July, they're allowed to smoke all season anyways. All you're doing is making an athlete stop smoking for July. It's not doing anything. They're smoking their faces off the whole rest of the year. So it's 2018. It's time to start changing some of these damn laws. Now, I'm a big music fan. I love music, mostly old music. This new stuff is horrible. I was watching Saturday Night Live last week, and they had Migos on there. And Migos is pretty big, you know, with the youth. I know of them. I know what they look like. So I sat there and I'm watching it. Alec Baldwin, I believe, was the co-host. So I said, "Here comes Migos." All right. So I watched it. I'm 50 years old and I've never seen less talent in my life. I've never seen so much pageantry and so little talent. Like, I'm a hip hop fan. I'm a hip hop head first day all the way through. The stuff they're spitting out now is garbage. Like, I mean, anybody on the street can go do what they're doing, okay? Wear a shiny suit with lights on it and big chains and big glasses and lights everywhere and just going, bang, bang, bang. It's garbage. It's all electronic. And I think I rewound it because I go, couldn't have been that bad. I rewound it and went back and watched it, and it was absolutely terrible. So I hope there's probably some young people listening to this right now. I'm sorry, but y'all music is terrible. Go back and pop in some KRS-One or some Eric B. and Rakim, some Slick Rick, and see what they're doing and see what this new stuff is, because this definitely ain't the way it is. Now, I thought there couldn't be anything worse than Migos, and then watching TMZ, and they came out and said, "There's a new world tour coming up, and I want you to hear who's going on world tour, and you tell me how terrible this is going to be." Weird Al Yankovic is going on tour, okay? First of all, I've never understood it. I've heard some of his songs, and they're goofy and all, but I never understood the whole thing, and I bet Weird Al has tens of millions of dollars somehow. I don't know if he's talented, but he's going to do a world tour, and he's not going to do his parody songs. That would be worse. For Weird Al Yankovic to not do parody songs would be worse than Migos, and I didn't think that was possible. So all you Weird Al Yankovic fans, if there's any out there, he's coming, so make sure you get your tickets, because they're definitely going to sell out, that's for sure. Now, you heard of, you know, Martha Stewart back in the day that got thrown into jail for insider information and all that kind of stuff like that. First of all, getting insider information is the American way, okay? I don't care what the hell anybody says. Somebody gives you some information about a stock tip, you're just going to let your money sit in there and get eaten up? No, of course not. You're going to pull it out. And that's all Martha Stewart did. Listen to this. Peyton Manning sold all of his Papa John's in Denver 2 days before the NFL and Papa John's split up. Yeah. If that's not insider trading, I don't know what is. He works for Papa John's. He owns Papa John's and is part of the NFL. I guarantee he knew exactly what was going down. So I don't think there's anything more of insider trading than that. I get it. And they're probably not going to bring down Peyton Manning because he's beloved and all those kind of things like that. But, you know, like I said, it's the American way. I don't blame him for doing it. But I think what he did and what Martha Stewart did are probably exactly the same thing. Now, my boy, Tommy Lee. I don't know much about Tommy Lee's music. I know he's a very relevant person. I saw the sex tape. Good for you, Tommy Lee. But Tommy Lee's relevant in music. He was married to Pam Anderson. I guess he had a situation where back when he was married, he was abusive. And, you know, no man should condone that, or woman. And I guess Pam Anderson was on a show bringing it up again. So I guess Tommy Lee thought it was all right to say, you know, this is old news, stop bringing it up, put a couple pictures of Pam Anderson up there, was being goofy with it. So I guess his son rolls up in the room and son Brandon Lee and confronts Tommy Lee. And supposedly Brandon's living with Tommy Lee because he thinks he has a drinking problem, which probably means he has a drinking problem. And he rolled up in the room. They had a confrontation. One story said Tommy lunged at him. The other one said Brandon swung at me. But it ended up, we knocked the F out of Tommy Lee and knocked him out. So I guess Tommy Lee wants to press charges. Brandon said I didn't do it. But I want you to listen to the turmoil going on in that family. You have a son and a father. The son thinks the father's an alcoholic, which means, like I said, he probably is. The son says the father was drunk. The father said he had one drink. Who knows an alcoholic to be in their room after having one drink? Does anybody know one? I don't. That's not an alcoholic's not going to the room until they're done with what they're doing. And that's not one drink. Alcoholics don't have one drink. They're not able to. I'm not an alcoholic. I can have one drink. I like to drink. Don't get me wrong. I can have one drink. Alcoholics can't have one drink. It triggers them. You didn't have one drink. Is this like when a cop pulls you over? How many drinks you have? One drink? That's a goddamn lie. No way. Nobody has a drink. So I think Tommy Lee was hammered. But for you to be confronted by your father, you knock him out. Your father suing you. It couldn't be any more broken than that. Then again, I don't know what it would be like to have, you know, to be Brandon Lee and everybody's seen my parents screwing on a boat. Like, I don't know about you, but I don't want people to see, my parents are both gone, but I didn't want anybody to see my parents' genitals, nor did I. So I don't think that's an easy situation. So let's see what comes up of that. I think it's disgusting that a father wants to sue his son for dotting his I, because to be honest with you, he probably deserved it. O.J. Simpson, I'm obsessed with O.J. Simpson and the whole, you know, the trial. I watched the whole thing when it went down. I watched all the documentaries. And I've always said O.J. has the ability to snap, because everybody that talks about O.J., they say sometimes he gets real fuzzy and like he's in another world. And there was an interview, and the interviewer, a young lady, says, well, what about Charlie? And we're talking about the day of the murder. And OJ said something like, Charlie said, you wouldn't believe what's going on over there. Then I said, I can't let that go on anymore. This isn't an interview, okay? And then, like, when he was saying it, he got weird looking again. And the interviewer kind of looked at him like he's kind of telling on himself. Now, I think OJ has an alter ego to where when he trips, he turns into somebody else. Because everybody always talks about how nice of a person OJ is all the time. Even when TMZ runs into him or whatever, he's really a nice person. Everybody says that to everybody until he snaps and cuts your head off. Then he's not so nice. So this, I predict this. I can almost guarantee this. When they cut OJ Simpson's head open, it's going to be a mess. OJ Simpson is old. He played old school football. They played with concussions all the time back then. He played for a long time. He was a running back. They didn't take plays off. Aaron Hernandez, when they cut his head open, they said, no bueno. That's one of the worst cases of CTE they've ever seen. O.J. Simpson clearly has CTE. Clearly. doesn't justify cutting people's heads off, but I guarantee when they do check on him, that's going to be a situation, that's for sure. So definitely check on that. Now, I was watching Tucker Carlson the other day, and I don't like his face, but I watch him anyways because you gotta know how everybody's thinking. And he actually had this, he was breaking down United States of America. And I laughed because I actually rewound and I wrote up some of the statistics. And everybody talks about how women deserve equal pay. Now, I want you to listen to these statistics and you tell me if women deserve equal pay. I think they do. Listen to these statistics. First of all, everybody talks about mental health all the time. When was the last woman that's been crazy and gone, shot up people? When was the last time that happened? I can't think of any. 77% of suicides are men in this country. That's a high number. That's an increase 43% from 1977. And it says they're disproportionately white men, but that's the country. That's the way it goes. Over 90% of inmates are men. There's more girls graduating from high school than men. There's more girls graduating from college than men. Women are outnumbering men in doctorate schools. Women make 77 cents to a man's dollar. That's the one that's tough to stomach for women, and me too. Women get higher scores in IQ tests. This is, obviously, there's exceptions, but as a whole, women get higher scores than men in IQ tests. And here comes the part where watching Tucker Carlson being a right-wing station, this is the part that I found funny. Then they said, biologically, the sperm count in men has gone down 60% since the 70s. I believe that, from prescription drugs and all those kind of things like that, and I'm depressed and all kind of stuff. There's a huge testosterone decline, and which obviously leads to depression and being lethargic and all those kind of things. That's why I go to C4MH.com and get my testosterone, and you should too if you're over 40. And basically, the guy who he was interviewing said that the left basically is de-emphasizing masculinity. I don't know what that means exactly, but I do believe of this de-masculinity thing. I do believe that. I really do, because I never heard anybody complaining about bullying when I grew up. Not one person. It's just something that happened. You're on the bus. And the tough kids sit in the back. And the kids that ain't tough sit in the front. Is that bullying? No, that's a hierarchy. That's the way it goes. The kids that are stronger, they get better seats. It's not bullying. That's the way it goes. Now, if you tell a kid, get up out of the seat, he's going to go and cry and go to his parents, and the parents are going to go to school, and they're going to want the kids suspended, all kind of crazy stuff like that. We'll get back to that in a second. But kids can't lose now. They don't want to play dodgeball because it's not nice to some kids because they suck at dodgeball. Well, I sucked at science. They didn't take science out. I sucked at science. I was excellent at dodgeball. You took dodgeball out of school. Now, all of a sudden, there's no reason for me to go to school anymore. I think that's emphasizing the masculinity of this country. Seriously. Kids are not competing anymore. Competition is important. Now, there was a story that went on with Gerald McCoy. And I talk about Gerald McCoy often, normally not in a wonderful light, but it is going to be today. There was a story where Gerald McCoy came out and he tweeted out and told his situation in his school. He never brought up the school name, and that's fine. But his daughter, I believe she's 12-ish, was at school. Kids were playing truth or dare, and some boys walked up to her and called her the N-word in her face. She didn't retaliate. She said, well, that's not nice, blah, blah, blah. I'm not that. She didn't retaliate. That's fine, obviously. So she went to Gerald, and she complained to Gerald. The school never approached Gerald McCoy and the family, and I believe they should have. And I think the kid got suspended one day. Now, what do you think should happen in that situation? So getting suspended for one day, you really think that does anything to a kid? You have to know, as a parent, if my kids did something like that one day they were suspended, I promise you they wouldn't do that again. Because most people in South Tampa, that's where I live, will probably let their kids play PlayStation all day long. If one of my kids do that on everything I love, they'd be in the backyard digging holes. For what? Don't know. I might say, go dig a hole, then fill it. And I promise you, at the end of that day, they would never do that again. To get suspended for one day for doing that to me, it is disgusting in this day and age. Seriously. There's so much nastiness happening right now. And it's hard to fathom that how did you bring your kids up to you? Well, they thought that was okay. And they thought there was going to be no ramifications for that. And you know, Gerald looked upset, and he should look upset, because there's not much he can really do in that situation. And when these, you know, bonehead kids hurt his daughter, the only thing he could do is get it out there. I would go to the master and I would say, you know, the headmaster, I'd say, you guys got to do something more about this, or this is never going to stop. So I'm on Gerald McCoy's side in this situation. I think something definitely way more than that should have happened. That's for sure. Now, our beloved president, and boy, is he beloved. The story's coming out with this Stormy Daniels. And listen, I'm on the radio and people say, well, she's a porn star. Everybody knows she's a porn star. I don't have to discredit a porn star. She's done that herself. Once you show your bosoms, you already discredited yourself, unfortunately. She has fabulous bosoms, too, by the way. I just want to say that. Top five. I guess Trump's lawyer ended up giving Stormy Daniels $130,000 out of his own account. Now, there was supposed to be a non-disclosure that Trump was supposed to sign, and he didn't sign it. Now they're saying, well, there was a non-disclosure. He didn't sign it. The lawyer did give Stormy Daniels $130,000, but Trump didn't know of the payment. Now, give me a percentage of if that's possible. So Donald Trump messed with a porn star, and his lawyer gave the porn star $130,000, and Donald Trump didn't know? So the porn star went right to Donald Trump's lawyer. How would the porn star know who Donald Trump's lawyer is? How is that possible? There's a 0% chance that Donald Trump didn't know that transaction happened. Zero. If you think he didn't, then you're the problem. Seriously. And I know you have that Keep America Great hat on again. Enjoy it. You look terrible in it, but enjoy it. For me to sit here and listen to people say things like that, the truth doesn't matter anymore. You know, when I'm listening to people in the government speak, I'm just like, first of all, you think everybody is stupid as hell to believe some of these things. Seriously. And it just keeps on going and going and going. Everything's a lie now. It's like they can't even tell the truth. They're not able to tell the truth. And it's getting disgusting. Everybody knows that people in politics lie. Not like this, though. I didn't think it possibly could have got this bad. Now, it's a few weeks removed from the Parkland shootings, but I always tell people don't forget, because it's a while back, but we tend to forget. I'm going to tell you, this Parkland one's going to be around a while, because there's going to be hella lawsuits, man. When the school board messed up, when the sheriff's office messed up, when the FBI messed up, when everybody local messed up, the neighbors messed up, there's going to be hella lawsuits. When the security guard is hiding outside with a gun and my kid got shot, there's going to be a problem. Like, I'm not the dude to go out and sue a bunch of people. But when I see a guy up there and he talked about, well, my daughter got shot 9 times, you're just not going to understand that. There's going to be a lot of lawsuits coming up. And here it comes. You know, they're talking about giving some teachers guns. Here it comes. And the NRA, you know, and pro-gun people, they're easing up a little bit on some things, but they took some guns away and they put some guns in other people's hands. And I don't know. You got to think this. Either a teacher is not going to want a gun, unequivocally, not going to want the gun, or they're really going to want the gun, and those people are scary. People are scary. You know, people that really want a gun will shoot somebody real quick. No doubt about that. So that's not going to turn out well. They didn't think it out much. They couldn't possibly have thought that out that much, because, you know, there's so many things negatively that could happen with this situation. When a gunman comes into a school and starts shooting up a school, a teacher is just a person. But if you think a teacher has a gun, they're going to shoot you first. Blam, dead. If a teacher has a gun in a room full of children, you want the teacher to leave the room with the gun? Does that make sense? They didn't think that out, man. Put some more security guards in there with guns. Do whatever you got to do, but they definitely didn't think that whole thing out. And it's, everybody's moving real hastily right now, and they're not thinking things out. And everybody's going crazy in, you know, right in front of our faces, and we see it happening with this kid, that guy that came out, Nuremberg. He got subpoenaed by the FBI. He basically told the FBI to go screw themselves. I'm not doing that. Screw that. And he said, "Oh, that's ridiculous, dude. That's the FBI. That's the police. You don't have much choice but to deal with the police. If they subpoena you, you're gonna go. Period." So that guy went up there with his sniveling self and basically telling the FBI to go F themselves. I saw him on an interview with Anna, I can't remember her last name. And she basically asked him, "I heard you have problems drinking. I smell alcohol in your breath." And he said, "Oh, no, I haven't been drinking." Well, you really can't, you know, trust people that are alcoholics, unfortunately. So that's who's running our country right now. Guys like Nuremberg. Guys like Trump that are screwing, you know, porn stars often. Jared Kushner, who's not allowed to see any files anymore. Ivanka Trump, who's his daughter. And really, there's nobody left. That's who's running our country. So I hope you guys feel good about yourself. I don't. Because to have a cabinet as big as Donald Trump did, and for 80% of them to be gone, and 10% of them to be his family, pretty much, I'm not sure I could say we're in good hands, unfortunately. So one of these days, I'm going to do one of these podcasts and speak on the government positively, but unfortunately, it's not going to be today. If you guys want to contact me, you go to Ian Beckles at Radio Influence. I also have a podcast, In the Trenches, that comes out on Monday. I have some special guests sometimes. We talk a lot of football, so check that out as well. I appreciate you guys listening. The numbers are excellent, and we're going to continue to do this podcast as long as you guys are listening. So have a wonderful week, and please be safe. Peace out.
To keep the conversation going, follow Ian on Twitter at Ian Beckles and check out dignitaryradio.com to get the latest on where you can find him next. This has been Ian Beckles, Flavor in Your Ear on Radio Influence.
Put the flavor in your ear, the voice of the people's here is in that flavor. Flavor. Bringing that flavor, flavor.
This is the Landry Football with Chris Landry. Quick fix on Radio Influence.
If you draft well, you develop well, you have continuity, then the only thing you're doing in free agency is trying to augment that at the right spot. We're going to find a bargain. We're going to find this end piece for our, you know, kitchen, and this is what we're going to do. We're not going to break the bank. We're not going to be foolish. We want a certain type of guy to fit a certain type of role. We like them coming out of the draft. We like what we know about him. We think he's a good fit here. Let's go ahead and make that move. You start stepping out and getting into a price war, all of a sudden, boom, it's over. You're chasing the market. And you're now completely disrespected the balance of your salary within your roster, and it's going to hurt you. Listen, free agency is like a garage sale. You're chasing what other people want to put out the curb.
Chris Landry brings you Landry Football every week on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and, of course, RadioInfluence.com.